You also give us some prose in this new chapbook. And there is a piece that I would love you to share with us called Getting to Know the Kennedys.
Yeah, Getting to Know the Kennedys. This is another memory. This is also 1968, explicitly so. People don't remember Eugene McCarthy. You're probably too young to remember Eugene McCarthy.
Not so, but thank you.
Eugene McCarthy was the first Democrat to challenge Johnson in the 1968 primaries. And he was pretty successful, although never actually beat Johnson, but got close enough that Johnson felt threatened and then resigned. So he was coming in from the left to attack Johnson in the war. Once he showed this, proved this, then that was when Robert Kennedy entered the race. And those of us who had worked for McCarthy were very bitter about that. And Kennedy entered on McCarthy's right. Isn't it amazing that American politics have changed to that degree that Robert Kennedy was ever to the right of anyone? Just amazing. So I wrote this little piece. It's a memory of the time. And so I was working for the other guy, but nonetheless was completely caught up in the Kennedy charisma. So this is a little touch of that. Getting to know the Kennedys. It was the thing to do. So a few months before my 16th birthday, I volunteered to work for the Eugene McCarthy campaign in South Bend, Indiana. I worked out of a small office on Mishawaka Avenue in River Park. Either the McCarthy campaign in Indiana was poorly organized and they forgot about my office, or they decided they were unlikely to get very many votes in my blue-collar neighborhood. Once they gave me a key, I never saw anyone else from the campaign. Occasionally, I would find a box of new campaign literature sitting outside the door, but that was my only contact with the larger political world. No one from the neighborhood ever came in. Once I called up the city headquarters in downtown South Bend and volunteered to stuff mailboxes with the campaign pamphlets that were gathering dust in my little office. But they told me I should never go out in the street. There was a coffee pot in the back room. I learned to make coffee, and then I learned to drink it. And in that back room, I learned to smoke. I would sit on the unopened boxes of campaign brochures, drinking coffee and taking deep drags on my Territon. I'd rather fight than switch, until my stomach churned and my head was swirling. I felt very lonely and very old. Most of us who worked for McCarthy were bitter when Robert Kennedy joined the race. We felt he'd waited until our man proved that hatred of the war could drive Johnson from office. And then Kennedy decided to come in on McCarthy's right. Despite our bitterness, everyone understood that Kennedy would probably win, and we became quietly wistful. Kennedy came through South Bend once during the primary campaign. I joined the thousands of people who packed Notre Dame's Stepan Center to hear him. My corduroy jacket was covered with pins, No War, Cleaned for Gene, the stylized Picasso dove, and the chicken foot peace sign. I thought I might have some kind of confrontation with the Kennedy supporters, but they ignored me. I don't remember anything the senator said. There was lots of laughter and wild cheering. He never mentioned McCarthy. Even while I was feeling bitter about Kennedy's appeal, I was laughing and cheering like everyone else. When he finished, I pushed back through the crowd, ran across the parking lot, and stood by the only road his motorcade could take. No one else was there. After half an hour or so, I could see the cars moving slowly through the crowd in front of Stepan Center. A couple of police cars led a white convertible. Held tightly by their security people, Bobby and Ethel sat on the back of it, shaking hands with the young people who ran behind. When they drove past me, I wanted to be part of it all, too. I ran as fast as I could. Everyone who'd been following was out of breath, and I was suddenly alone with the Kennedys. I reached up and shook hands with Ethel, then Bobby. They were wind-blown, just like in their photographs, but they looked very tired. Their smiles were forced, almost unreal. Bobby's eyes were glazed. In this quick moment while I ran behind him, I thought he looked uncomfortable, or maybe he looked sad. At the time, I thought he looked like that because a kid covered in peace buttons was chasing him down a Midwestern street. I realized later that he hadn't really noticed. "Good luck, Senator," I called out. He nodded, and his staff pulled him into the car. They quickly accelerated and left me behind.